You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Beckley, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
So time now for a little bit of social commentary. It's taken us a minute to get here, just like it's taken us a minute to get to Mike Ryan's fresh and clean new weekly way too expensive haircut that he is doing. More so even now that he is vaccinated. Mike is a much freer human being. We will get to that haircut in a second. And for many of you, when I say social commentary, you will zip past this portion of it. And I would just say to you, even as I understand why people get tired that this keeps crashing against the walls of sports, that if you are exhausted by the last year of coverage of this stuff, if you're exhausted from the last year of coverage of racism, imagine how exhausted minorities are of feeling the racism and now hearing that you're bored of it. So we go out to Minnesota where sports again get canceled last night because you've got a bunch of games in Minnesota. You've got basically a powder keg where you have a mistake that a police officer cannot make during this time. There is zero margin for error. And as much as I would like to apply nuance and humanize for the police officer, maybe it is an innocent mistake at a horrible time in a horrible place, because this is a place where you cannot make that mistake right now, as sports are getting canceled in that city because they're afraid that they won't be able to control a riot or a mob of that size. These are not political statements being made by these sports teams. This is fear of violence on a city that is very white, that has a social unrest that it is not accustomed to in any way. And so while I want to humanize the police officer, because that would be a terrible mistake to make in a very difficult job in that spot, not being able to differentiate between a taser and a gun, I think the humanizing needs to happen on the other side where the victim resides, because too often these conversations become about the talking points afterward, because you don't know the name Dante Wright yet. It is soon going to be seared into your head with all these other names unless you're numb to it. And now you can't remember the names because there are so many incidents like this that infuriate minorities. But I want to humanize this for you beyond the talking points of how difficult it is to be a police officer, or whether a police officer can make a mistake, or beyond even whether black skin is viewed as a threat inherently, and untrained police officers that are not trained well enough, because those are not high paying jobs, and we're giving the guns to people who do not have proper training for some of these things. Before we get into smearing Dante Wright because he is someone with a criminal past and turning this thing into, as we always do, a fight between two sides, as Tucker Carlson goes full white supremacist now that the government has gotten back to normal and we need something out there on the fringes. What happened in this incident that anybody can understand, Stugatz, is I want you to imagine the pain of Katie Wright, Dante's mom, whose son called her while he was getting pulled over. And so she can hear on the phone what some of what is happening, right? And she hears the police officer say, "Dante, don't run. And then the other officer says to put the phone down. And then it was hung up. And a minute later, she called his phone and the girlfriend answered and said that he had been shot. Now, while the mayor of Brooklyn Center calls for the officer to be fired, the mother is on the protest scene urging people to be peaceful, saying she wants justice for Dante. We don't want it to all be about this violence. And it reminded me, and you guys will remember this, when Sean Taylor died and his father, a police officer locally of some repute, I remember the strength of that man getting in front of people and summoning both his faith and his experience in that job to call and ask for peace. But when Greg Popovich is seeing this and getting partial details, and you get the humanizing details, and then you put this last drop in a bucket that makes the bucket overflow, what ends up happening, Stugatz, is somehow 10 miles from where this trial for George Floyd takes place, people are so fed up with all of this that there is no nuance to be applied to an officer making this mistake unless the nuance is, hey, it doesn't matter what your intent is. Either it's murder or manslaughter, but either way, another black man is dead. And another conversation will start about his record and fleeing the police before in his past, as if black people in today's age, while watching video go viral of an army lieutenant who's black getting pepper sprayed and getting his legs beaten on, when you're watching that video, as if all black people right now who get pulled over aren't in some way tempted to run away because of the helplessness of being in the position of, I don't know if this is the moment that I'm going to die. I don't know how many people on this Zoom call right now have ever been pulled over by a police officer and felt that feeling. Might I die right now? Because I've never felt it. I've been pulled over plenty, and I've never thought to myself, this is possibly going to end in my death. I've gone 52 years of my life. I've been pulled over many times. It's never been with fear. It's always been, oh, bleep. They caught me doing something. What did I do? What silly thing did I do? It's all, Stugatz has told you the story on air of lighting up a police officer when Stugatz was all wrong in Philadelphia and he was just mad at getting pulled over. And so let's listen to this Greg Popovich sound, because he's long past fed up this turning into an issue of politics instead of a single human being and a black man dying again, needlessly and by mistake, whether it's racism or something else. Again, we have another one of these stories, and we have it.
Just makes you sick to your stomach. You know, it's how many times does it have to happen? And, you know, it's as sick to our stomachs as we might feel. You know, that individual's dead. He's dead. And his family's grieving and his friends are grieving. And we just keep moving on as if nothing's happening. I've said it before, I think we're already in the process of being Rome. It's over unless we find some leadership and some common sense and some people that can steer us in the right direction. It's all connected. It's the same feeling we have with guns and the massacres. You know, we see what's happening with policing and young black men, middle-aged black, doesn't matter, black men, and some other people of color. And with the massacres of our children, it's the same thing. It goes on, and everybody says, well, when's it gonna be enough? You know, of course I don't have those answers, but the people who continually fight to maintain that status quo are not good people. And do these people want a country or not? Do these people have grandchildren? Do they want their grandchildren to go to work, to go to school, and go through these drills and worry about being murdered? What does it take to care more about them than your frickin' power and your position and your donors? And with policing, it's the same damn way. How many young black kids have to be killed for no frickin' reason? How many? so that we can empower the police unions. We need to find out who funds these people. I want to know what owners in the NBA fund these people who perpetrate these lies. Maybe that's a good place to start, so it's all transparent.
Cody, what do you think of what is happening right now in Minnesota, where you've got games being canceled because they're very worried about the unrest becoming even more dangerous and violent and more turbulent than what you're already seeing during a trial that is plenty turbulent enough on its face?
It's just disheartening. It's debilitating. Racism is a public health crisis, as the CDC just declared. And in this case, in the idea of white privilege, somebody asked me once back when George Floyd was happening last summer, why does everybody talk about white privilege? What is white privilege? Well, from my perspective, white privilege is what you alluded to earlier. I don't know how many times I've been pulled over by a cop. I've never had a gun drawn on me because I don't suffer the presumption of guilt like so many of these young black men do when they're pulled over by a cop. The Army Lieutenant, Karan Nazario, I believe his name is, he could be dead easily by what happened to him. It's terrible when somebody gets pulled over and there's not the presumption of innocent. Guns are immediately drawn, and it's sickening to see. And as Greg Popovich said, I don't know what the answer is, because it just goes on and on and on.
The definition that Amici has for privilege is the one that I think is the least combative, where he says that privilege is merely the absence of an impediment. It does not mean that a white person's life was easy. It just means that that person has not been inconvenienced by their skin color, and because of that, they have no reason to pay attention to the places where the inconveniences are, because they're not feeling any of them. You have to go find empathy to put yourself in another person's shoes. So I understand that people feel attacked when they hear the word privilege. It almost feels like an insult, but it doesn't have to be loaded like that. It can be neutral in a way to help you toward understanding by just sort of putting in front of you, look, you understand that privilege is having money, right? Or being able to go to school, or whatever it is that privileges are that are not race related, that anyone can understand. If I come from money, my life is easier than not having money. But if I come from money, I might not totally understand what it's like to not have money. And so many of us, all of us here except Roy, basically, on this Zoom, and I don't know how Roy feels about everything that's happening right now. I'll get to him in a second. But everything that's happening around here is something that basically we have to extend ourselves to find the humanity in it. We have to make that effort, Stugatz, because we are, all of us around here, as you know, brown males or white males, all of us are privileged in some way or another. And that doesn't make it bad. It's just acknowledge it so that you can reach understanding on the other side and feel someone else's pain.
I've never had to spend one second worrying about whether my life was at stake when being pulled over by a cop. I've never had to have that conversation with my children as to what you're supposed to do if a cop pulls you over now that they're driving around in the car. But Dan, I've told the Pennsylvania story, but I've also told this story driving out of South Beach, where there was a police checkup. They were just stopping people randomly going out of South Beach, and there were back-to-back BMWs. One was mine and the other was a complete stranger. I'm white, obviously. The other person in the BMW, black. I breezed right through. He got pulled over, and I remember thinking to myself, my goodness, what black people have to go through on a daily basis, things that I never have to think about, things I never have to deal with, things that will never happen to me. It has to be super frustrating. I was frustrated that day. And so it's just, and I can't believe that we're still here, that we're still dealing with it. I shouldn't be surprised, but I guess I still am.
You can't believe we're still here after a year of this. Roy can't believe we're still here after it being here his entire life and before. So as we come to what feels like the close of the pandemic, right? Because part of this, you saw an unrest in this country in the streets that we have never seen, at least in part because people were inside and the streets were empty, and you had to watch a summer of equality, a cry for help in the streets, where minorities, and aided this time in a way that felt different by a whole lot of white people that ended up overturning the government because they were tired of the racism. Here at the close of the pandemic, during this trial that is a national and international trial, we arrive at what feels like the close of the pandemic. As many people are getting vaccinated, we're trying to crawl. America's trying to crawl back to normal. And now games are being canceled last night. The Wild, the Twins, the Timberwolves, because they're worried about the unrest. As you saw this unfold yesterday, Roy, what was going on?
I'm just going to get straight to the point. If you're a police officer and you cannot tell your taser from your handgun, you should not be a cop. Plain and simple. Like, she should have been fired yesterday. She should have been brought up on charges today. Plain and simple. Like, and this goes towards police training. Like, how are these cops being trained? Like, you should be trained to de-escalate a situation. And it doesn't matter if this person has criminal charges pending, if you're pulling them over. You need to be able to de-escalate the situation just like that, instead of escalating the situation, instead of having your gun drawn automatically as you approach a vehicle on a traffic stop. This is about police training, and the cops don't have enough accountability to change their practices. And that's a huge problem in this country. And it's not going to change until something radical happens, you know, from our government. That's just it. There needs to be some sort of reform. And they talked about defunding the police during the summer, and everybody took that out of context. It's just diverting funds from the police department towards something else, like education. That's what they were talking about. They're not talking about taking all the cash away from the cops. No, but there needs to be something radical to happen for police accountability to actually be paid attention to by cops. And it's just frustrating to see this happen over and over and over and over.
One of the things that has to happen beyond what Roy is saying is it's not quite enough to just have radical government reform. Then you need for it to take hold. Like, it's one thing. It can be right now announced today that there's going to be radical government reform. And furthermore, we're going to make sure everyone understands that defund the police is more about taking the funds and pushing them over to other places where mental health experts can help with circumstances where mentally ill things are escalating and police aren't being brought in to escalate a situation because they're not equipped or trained to handle mental health. But even if you get the radical reform that Roy is talking about, do you realize how much longer after that it's going to take for those things to actually take hold in the roots and the system of what it is that we're talking about? If Roy were to get what he wanted right now, radical government reform today, next to nothing would change in the streets that afternoon.
The other kind of hurdle for that is how politically unpopular defund the police has been. And I know Roy mentioned how it's kind of been co-opted as a different message, but generally you ask people, they have a favorable view of law enforcement, even still, even after all that's happened. People do kind of like those Republican commercials that are based on you call 911 and nobody answers are effective because people do want to have that security of being able to trust law enforcement. So it's not just as simple as, well, here's my prescription, everyone will be on board. Like, you have to get people on board. It's taken a long time for issues to change in our country, and this is absolutely one of them, because law enforcement is kind of the most fundamental and kind of sacred function of government, of your tax dollars, is I get protection for this.
It's a losing position politically. It just is. While it's a meme that goes viral, it is flatly not a winning position for either party to fund the police. And Joe Biden was very quick to get out in front of that and not allow the right media to project that onto them. And he failed there because they did anyways. You see right now, this is certainly not apples to apples, but you have 6 blood clots out of 6.8 million doses of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, and you get sweeping change. Pause. Abundance of caution. And that happens immediately. But with policing, you have states, counties, and even if you make a national mandate at the very top, like anything in this country, it's got to go through local government, and you have different places. I'm sure there are police precincts and officers that actually have pretty decent civil rights record. I mean, comparable to whatever it is here in the United States.
Many of them.
Yeah. But you're always going to have places in this country where there is a larger racial disconnect and a larger racial divide. It's going to take generations to fix.
Well, the state of Maryland has started to repeal the Police Bill of Rights, and that's going to give police oversight to the citizens instead of to like a panel. So that's a start right there. You can look at the Police Bill of Rights. You can look at insurance. You can look at all these things and see if there could be a change through that means.
I have police officers in my extended family, and I can tell you that the discussion we're having right now is taboo when we get together because they don't want to hear any of this. Like 50% of the population, police tend to think there's no such thing as systemic racism. And so it's a conversation that you can't have with my own family. What systemic racism is to me, and I'm going to put it on a very personal level, Roy's daughter is going to grow up with hardships that my granddaughter won't face purely because of the color of her skin. That to me is systemic racism. And until we all can agree on that basic fundamental, we're not going to be able to move this conversation forward in a meaningful way.
But you say agree on the basic fundamental, and I believe that all the other conversations that sprout around this about freedoms, about guns, about everything else, I think the basic fundamental we can't agree on is that the people that make defund the police a losing political position, the math of it seems rather simple to me. The majority of people, when calling 911, want to know that they are protected. And when the police get there, don't feel a further fear by the police getting there. Like, the police getting there are a rescue. The police getting there are safety. I was grateful for the police at 8 p.m. on curfew. Then they swept in here because we had a state of emergency, unlike Minnesota's, for partying. We had a state of emergency for partying where Minnesota has a state of emergency and a curfew because they've got this civil unrest in their streets. And I was grateful for the police. But when you have that disconnect of everybody on the Zoom here, except for one, has had a different relationship with police all their lives than Roy have. How the hell are you going to cross that particular bridge when the fundamental divide, Greg, is favorable opinion of law enforcement, and yeah, occasionally a black body is going to get desecrated, and that ends up being the math that people are doing, and it's not so occasional on the black bodies, and black people have been telling you for a long time that they fear the police, and that there has been unfairness on the wrong side of police brutality, and they've been showing us since Rodney King and video that it is not a lie, and too often these police officers are not convicted, too often there is no accountability. And until this police officer, until the fear of making the mistake between a taser and a gun is bigger than your fear of black people, until the fear of making that mistake, because there's going to be accountability, you're not going to get off. You make that mistake, your life is over. Your life is over if you make that mistake 10 minutes from this courthouse. Your life is over. Until that's the level of accountability, unless that's the case, you're going to get a divide that can't be leapt over because the police end up protecting the status quo because they're not even willing to have the in your house. They're not willing to have the conversation with a loved one in your house. They're not willing. No, you're not taking any of our money. There's not any defunding of the support of the police in any way, financial or otherwise. If the conversation can't be had in your house, what difference does any amount of government reform end up making?
Right. I agree. And I think it has to start with police policing themselves and acknowledging that there's no place for the bad ones. Look, we all understand the need for a police department for policing. But when a cop goes bad, it's bad in an awful way, in a deadly way. And cops themselves have to say, no, what happened to George Floyd is just abhorrent to society. We acknowledge that. We as police acknowledge that this can't happen. When the Army lieutenant is pulled over and immediately has a gun drawn on him, And he's in the cockpit of his car, afraid to come out of that car because he's dealing with a policeman pointing a gun at him. Something is systemically wrong there. And the cops themselves have to start acknowledging that within us is a real problem.
And from Greg's kind of family dynamic, where within his family there is this different relationship and experience, it forces the members of his family to live experiences outside of their own, both at their jobs and with their dealings with law enforcement. Hey, this is how I experience it, but someone else is experiencing it far differently than I am. And I think there is just that gap that unfortunately cannot be bridged, because you're asking people to listen to experiences that are entirely different than their own and relate to them and internalize them in a way that ultimately just causes fighting.
And with this specific case, like, people are going to say, hey, go back and look at his priors. And he did, I think, last June, had an unlicensed gun. He ran from the cops. And they're going to say, hey, what are the cops supposed to do? Why don't we stop and ask ourselves why he ran from the police in the first place, the first time, and why he's carrying around an unlicensed gun? Because he probably feels threatened. And so we just don't stop and think about these things. And it's becoming frustrating.
I can't speak to the details of what his criminal behavior may not have been or was, or what his state of mind is. I don't mean to make him an innocent in any other way other than in this instance, he was an innocent at the end of the transaction who right. ends up getting killed over what is clearly an officer mistake by the admission of everybody involved.
And the other aspect of kind of this story, as opposed to like George Floyd, for instance, is there is some gray area. You watch the video, he is being held back. He is trying to, you know, flee. He eventually did drive away, although after having been shot, crashed his car. The George Floyd thing, the reason why it exploded and led to this, you know, kind of summer of unrest was that it was inarguable. There was nothing, there was no kind of counter argument, but ultimately, you know, the right and politicians will co-opt what happened in that video into, well, there's some nuance here, where there was no nuance in the George Floyd story. But ultimately, I think this, it kind of does dampen what ultimately is the message, which is, can you just stop killing black people, please?
And you also have to look at the police union, because the police union is one of the most powerful unions in the nation. So enough power to have political power. So you got to look at that as well. Like, that's pretty powerful. And you're going to have cops that are going to say, hey, listen, I'm just trying to get home safe at night. That doesn't necessarily mean that you actually have to roll up to a car, guns drawn. Like I said, this is about training. And the fact that if you look at a taser, and the difference between a taser and a handgun, taser's colored differently. It's bright. It's on one side of the belt. Handgun, it's dark, the other side of the belt. There should be absolutely no reason, if you have the correct training, to pull the wrong instrument out. Because, as you said, this quote-unquote mistake will cost a person a life. Split-second decision.
It speaks to panic, though, Roy. It speaks to what it is. When you're talking about all of these things combined together, strength of a police union, defund the police being a losing political argument, conversation cannot be had in Greg Cody's house in any way. The entire country fighting over a variety of things that are race-related. When you combine all of those things, the whole thing ends up feeling totally hopeless on change, as if we've just accepted that the status quo is going to have as its collateral damage the occasional unfairness that is then going to go to court and result in no accountability, no change, and us heading into the same damn America we've been living in for a long time, long after it's been acceptable.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.